Whisper!
Whitaker? Whitaker? What on earth is going on?
Whitaker went that way. He came running past me. As white as she, shouting for Sir Cuthbert. Whatever's the matter with him?
I don't know. All I heard was a loud shotgun blast, and then a few minutes later, I heard Whitaker shouting his head off.
I'm positive it's nothing to worry about, Estelle.
It's too soon.
Beg pardon?
What?
You said it's too soon, and I was wondering, what is too soon?
Did I? Must have been a slip of the tongue. You better carry on your way, my girl. I'll find Whitaker.
Estelle, there's been an accident.
What? You weren't supposed to.
Whitaker, I am still in shock at what you have just told me. I'm surprised at you for not being more careful. I'm fed up of your blunders. Samson the dog is lucky to be alive. Mine too. So is Lady Arabella.
Hang on. What's happened?
That damn fool Whitaker was in the garden trying to shoot a rabbit on the blasted lawn. My daughter was sat behind the hedge, playing with that hound Samson, when this idiot let off both barrels. My daughter, thankfully, is unharmed, just shaken up. The dog, however, now has a limp. I cannot believe that you, Sir Cuthbert Worthington Jones, would allow such a fool like this to be in your employment.
Now, steady on, old chap. Whitaker is a very useful man. Like any man, he has his faults and slip-ups, but he has many a time stopped my pansies from drooping, watered my lily, and kept my chrysanthemums cheery. Accidents do happen. I'm just so pleased that your beautiful, darling daughter was not harmed. Whitaker, you are excused. Please return to your duties. Estelle, you likewise.
I can't believe you got it wrong.
Hush now, someone will hear you.
I had a lot of respect for your late father, even if you are new money, which hasn't been earned through hard work. But he would never allow such an incident to have happened. He would have sorted out your man right there and then. If you don't, then I will.
Sir Montgomery, I would rather you didn't raise your voice to me in my own home. I shall treat my staff in a manner which I choose. And if that doesn't agree with you, then so be it. As for being new money, jealousy is a sin.
How dare you?
Let us not forget that although you may be old money, Sir Montgomery, that soon dwindles out. The dawn of a new world is upon us, and the old world, along with yourself, will be lost forever with it. Don't worry. I will, of course, buy you out if you get into financial difficulty.
Why, you jumped up little ball of excrement? You would never be able to buy me out. How dare you even have proposed to be better than me in this world? You lack anything a decent man should have. My precious daughter is nearly killed on your estate by a blundering fool, and you do nothing. Your operations here are an absolute sham. I shall run you out of town.
Do your damnedest.
I shall not tolerate this absurd charade anymore. I will collect my daughter and leave. I am watching you with a very close eye.
Cuthbert, what did he mean by all that?
I am sick of you constantly sticking your beady nose in where it's not damn well wanted. You women are always interfering in what us men are wanting to do. All I want is a quiet life. I want to be free to do what I damn well please, and if the title of sir doesn't entitle me to bloody well do that, then I don't know what ever will!
There is no point getting cross with me because of your downfalls and errors of misjudgment. I have done nothing but be by your side since the year dot. I could have married Rupert Oxford, but no, you persuaded me to stay with you. Whisk me away for a life of fantasy and make-believe. You're not the only one who's unhappy. Constantly moaning at me. Nothing is ever good enough for you, is it?
No, no, it's not. And you know why? You make me and everyone else bloody miserable. You're like this giant millstone around my neck, throttling me every day just a little bit more.
I wish someone would throttle you. Might put some sense into you. Might even get the truth from you.
The truth? You want the truth?
Yes, about you and Lady Arabella. I overheard your little problem that you and Peter were talking about in code. An awful one at that. I bet she isn't the first either. You've probably populated half of the village. Heaven knows how many are included in your will. You've always been a selfish man.
You know nothing of what it means to be in my position. You wander around all day like a hapless old cow, lost in a world of dresses and jewels, and you think you have the right to moan.
I have the right to the truth, the right to know what is going on. But no, you bottle it up. We might as well be strangers in the bedroom. You never touch me, you never look at me in that way. In fact, you look in disgust at me. Well, let me tell you something. You're not exactly a Greek god yourself. More like a blubbering walrus that can't keep it in his britches.
Ma'am, are you all right? Oh my goodness, ma'am. What on earth has happened?
It's nothing, Emily. Nothing at all.
Begging your pardon, ma'am, but it doesn't look like nothing to me. There, there.
Finally, darling, I've been waiting ages for you. I thought you weren't coming. Where have you been? Doesn't matter anymore. At least you're here now. We can be alone. Oh, at last, 5 minutes to ourselves. Just you, me, and the baby and my tummy. Life will be so grand when we...
Get rid of it.
I beg your pardon?
I say get rid of it.
What do you mean?
Get rid of it, the baby. Get rid of it, and whilst you're at it, get rid of yourself. You're nothing but a bloody pain. All of you women cause a man to grey and grow weary. I don't know why we bother with you.
Cuthbertie, wuthbertie, woo. I thought you loved me.
Love? Ha! You, dear girl, are nothing more than a mere infatuation to fill in time between boredom and monotony.
But the baby...
Get rid of it.
You beast! You wretched beast!
Ah. So this is the study of Sir Cuthbert, I presume.
Correct, Mr. Holmes. I must say that I am in awe of your expertise in the art of detection. I have read many of your cases and followed the small articles found in the newspapers of your successes. Some of my favourites being the racehorse Silver Blaze. Who'd have thought that the owner would go to all those lengths with his own horse? How did you work it out, though?
Elementary, my dear friend.
However, I, to this day, cannot understand how you worked out the Musgrave ritual. I mean, working out that riddle and realizing it was a set of instructions to find a secret burial chamber of treasures. And then, finding the body of a butler down there, too. I can't understand how any butler could act in such a way as to try to steal from their own employer. That is something I am passing on to my own apprentice, Jeeves.
To find the answer to any crime, you must first commit the crime yourself. Put yourself in the position of the culprit. Understand their motives, their passions, and then the answers appear before you like some vision. Sometimes, when a perpetrator is behaving like the victim, it is hard to uncover the truth without laying a few traps to exploit their weaknesses. The gut always knows the truth.
Poppycock! It's down to pure luck and chance, old boy. Surely every criminal has a slip-up and leaves a big enough trail for any imbecile to find.
I say, Master Clive, I do feel you're speaking out of turn. Sherlock has one of the greatest minds in the country. He has excelled in every case.
Calm down, Watson. Allow the man to speak his mind. If the man can speak, he can listen and consequently learn and progress his mind.
I am merely saying that your powers aren't supernatural, as the newspapers would make us believe. I am assuming it is a case of the right place, right time, and the stupid fool slipping up.
And in a lot of cases you would be correct. However, the cases I have been involved in have perplexed the great Scotland Yard and left Lestrade flummoxed at the hows and the whys. I have merely taken all the information gathered and thought along a different thread to come out with the correct income. A study of the mind has been most useful. Understanding how a man thinks and behaves gives you a great advantage. For instance, yourself.
But I have not committed any crime.
But if you could, would you be able to flummox my brain?
If I were to commit any crime, then I wouldn't have been stupid enough to leave a trail of my actions. I would merely cover up every angle.
Well, that says it all in my book.
Please explain.
I can tell by the whiteness on your forehead under your fringe that you have recently returned from travel so far in a country benefiting from the sun. You wore a hat to shield your eyes while spending a lot of time outdoors. You are strong-willed and vocal in your opinions, which announced to me that you are frustrated with the restraints of your father to allow you to fully blossom into a business and take on responsibility. You resent him for not allowing you the chance to bear down full steam on these streets of your future. Ergo, travelling appeals to you more. It gives you time away from your father, but always allows you to build up some business on the side whilst you are away.
He's got you there, Master Clive.
Outstanding, Holmes.
All easily guessed. What son of a lord isn't frustrated with their father and being held back from responsibilities? Most sons get sent off to Africa or elsewhere to discover ourselves and become a proper man, so that our fathers haven't got to deal with our lonking horns with us.
I can, if you wish, carry on. You have many admirers, but currently two are being played off against each other without their knowing. The small drop of red lipstick on your collar suggests that a romantic encounter has happened in the last few hours with quite possibly the young maid, as I believe I saw her wearing the same shade of lipstick. Yet she doesn't fulfil your desires as much as the other lady. Otherwise, you would be more relaxed in your manner and not so uptight. The other lady is of the same age of you, I would imagine, but I feel that perhaps she is not quite on the same rung of the social ladder as yourself. Else, she would be here with you now on your arm. But to keep her close by, you wear cufflinks she gave you with the initials M and C.
Maybe I have underestimated you, Mr. Holmes, or maybe you have been poking around the home too much. Perhaps a real test is in order, and believe you me, would never catch me.
Mr. Holmes, you have the young master down to a T. His father and grandfather were great men, but I doubt he will amount to anything near them. If you excuse me, I have some business to attend to.
That was most fantastic, Holmes. I cannot believe the pent-up aggression held within that young man. It will be his downfall.
All men learn a lesson or two. It takes a greater man to change. I am sure he will overcome these niggling areas of youth. Now, Watson, we need to look around the study. Check everything you can. Watson, look at this. The family tree of the Worthington Joneses, dating right back to the 1400s. Fascinating.
Here's some more of the family tree from this century.
Can't be. I have that piece here. Why would Sir Cuthbert have more than one copy of the family tree? We must examine these pieces more closely. Have any of these relatives been or lived abroad at all?
Give me a few moments to study these, Sherlock. You always get overexcited.
Can't be helped, my good man. The thrill, the action of the case pulsates the adrenaline through my veins.
Bang.
What on earth was that?
Sounded like...
Bang.
Quickly, Watson, we must hurry.